Should we get the party started? All right. All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to this latest event as a part of the Honors Program's Broadband Lunch Series. We'd like to, of course, thank Dr. Cindy Anderson, the Liberal Arts Department. We'd like to thank Dr. Alicia Toso, the Honors Program Director, and of course, all in the library, including Dr. Troy Swanson, who is going to be giving us this talk today. Dr. Troy Swanson is originally from Cambridge, Illinois, and is going to be talking to us today about leap year and the brain, what calendars can teach us about us. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Troy Swanson.
Hello. Can you hear me okay? Good. All right. Well, you know, get ready for nerdiness, I think, for sure, with this talk. We'll see if it actually is better than Jason King in class or not, but we'll see. So just first off, to all of you, happy leap day, happy leap year, February 29th. Around only ever so often, so we had to do a talk in honor of today. So first, what is leap year? What is this day about? Does anyone know? Yeah.
It's like every 4 years or something.
Yeah. Every 4 years, what happens?
President.
Yeah, right. We have an election.
It's like a leap year.
Yeah, we throw in an extra day. So normally, how many days does February normally have? 28. This year, it has 29. So does anyone know why we have leap year? What does it do? Just for fun, we want an extra day. All right. Well, here. So I can see. So thank God you're here. So you learned this vital fact about the world. So without leap year, our calendar really gets screwed up. And this has happened. I'm going to tell you about some of the times this has happened. So if we didn't have a leap year, every 4 years, we would lose a day. So the calendar would be off by a day. Over 100 years, we would lose 25 days. So what does that mean to lose a day? That means that the months would slowly start to creep backwards through the year. So eventually, July 1 would end up on the other side of spring. So instead of being in summer, June 20th, June 21st is normally the first day of spring. Eventually, spring stays put in the year as the sun goes around, or as the earth goes around the sun, sorry. But the calendar would move, and eventually June would end up in winter, January would end up in summer, and it would be a mess, right? And so, and it's, yeah, right, yeah, I mean, well, this is not a talk about climate change. Yeah, it's slowly happening, but for other reasons, not because of the calendar, right? So eventually, the calendar gets to be really weird. So what we're going to talk about today, I want to talk to you about a little bit of the history of the calendar, because I think it's fun and interesting and weird, but also I want to connect this into how we see the world, how our minds work, and how we get this understanding of what feels normal to us and how the calendar connects in all of this. So let's start with calendars. So get ready. Brace yourself for some fascinating trivia that will help you win at Bar Night Trivia in the future when you're able to go to Bar Night Trivia. Question, how long is a day? How do we measure a day? 24 hours. Well, how do we measure it? What does that mean? Well, 60 minutes an hour. But what's the markation? Why 24?
One spin of the Earth.
Yes, so one rotation of the Earth. So actually, 24 hours is incorrect. The rotation of the Earth is actually 23 hours and 56 minutes, a little less than 24 hours, which most of the time for human history didn't really matter. It didn't matter at all. But today, with all of us carrying around phones and the precision of watches, so if you actually, the way we actually measure time now isn't by watching how long the sun goes around, is we run electricity through like a cesium atom and it vibrates. And that helps us understand what counts as a second. But that also means if you measure exactly 24 hours over time, the day gets screwed up. So Google and Apple and all of the major like computer, whatever people, they have to figure out how to solve this problem. So sometimes they slip in a second when we're not working or they remove it. There's some different approaches to how this happens. There's one approach called blurring a second, where 1 second will actually be a little bit longer than the others, just to play catch up or not. If you want to get into super nerdiness, go online and Google it. There is a huge debate about leap seconds and if we should have leap seconds or not. And there's a proposal going through that we would no longer have leap seconds and that we would do a leap minute eventually. So again, follow the nerdiness where you will on that one. Be careful. But that's a real thing, that we have to figure out how to get our watches to match up with the actual turning of the Earth, which isn't as exact as we think. So how long is a month? Right, it depends. 4 weeks. We know. So when I say a month, or the day we kind of think is exactly 24 hours, a month is a mess, right? Some, like February is 28, some months are 30, some months are 31, so March is 31, April is 30, right? So we kind of know a month is weird. How do we define a month? What? Where did the word month come from? No, not a person. Yeah, no, so anyone know? Back table, nerds at the back. The moon, yeah. So it is actually the cycle of the moon, which is roughly 28 days. The cycle of the moon is actually 29.18. Weird thing with the moon, so a month used to be the time it takes for the moon to go through all of its phases, so from new moon back to new moon, right? But the weird thing with that is that the moon is on an ellipse around the Earth, so it doesn't evenly go around the Earth. So the moon actually speeds up and slows down, even though we don't know about it. So there isn't actually a standard month, but the average is 29.5 days. To make the cycle around, okay? So how long is a year? 365
days.
Yeah, exactly, 365 days. And a quarter, right? Okay, so what is a year? Kind of, we said this already, yep. The Earth going around the sun one time, right? So again, this does not count for astronomy credits, so, but I would encourage you to take astronomy class at Valley Community. The year is actually 365.242 days, or 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, 45.967668 seconds. That's what it takes to go around the sun. And during this time, the Earth actually speeds up and slows down because it too is an ellipse around the sun. So at some moments, it's going faster or slower than others, but we don't know it. So as you can see, this is the thing with a calendar, is that if you are going to make a calendar and measure that are consistent, you need to find a way to make these three things that have no relationship to each other in math, right? This is not the metric system where everything divides neatly by 10. You need to find a way that all of these things align together. And it's a mess. It is a mess. It is not natural. It is not a interlocking perfect system. The Earth is doing its thing, the sun is doing its thing, the moon is doing its thing, and they don't really care about us or each other. They're just going. So we're trying to find a way to make it even. And every civilization throughout history has had to deal with this problem, has had to figure out how to make a calendar and how to make it work. So whether it's planting crops or hunting or fishing, religious ceremonies, all of these things rely upon calendars to make sense of our world. And they had to figure out this ugly math. Just as a couple quick examples, right? So the Mayans had, again, 360 days. They had 18 months of 20 days. And at the end of the year, they threw in 5 extra days that they thought were bad luck days. You had to be careful. You could be in trouble during those days. Now, I like revolutionary France a little bit better because they did sort of thing, 30 days of over 12 months, and then they threw in 5 days at the end of the year to even it out for a party. So they threw a big party at the end of the year with their 5 days, where the Mayans were a little bit darker, which maybe, you know, depending how much you know about their civilization, it might kind of make sense. I don't know what that says. But again, these are just some quick examples of how they had to even out this calendar and make it work. There's a bunch of others, right? So coming up, I think pretty soon, in a month and a half, we're about to enter the month of Ramadan for folks who are Muslim, right? The Islamic calendar doesn't make any adjustments. The months just keep on moving through the year. So every year, Ramadan shifts further through the year. The Chinese calendar throws in a leap month, so the months will move, and then all of a sudden, it will jump back. And the same with the Judaic calendar. You think... Hanukkah, for instance, is one that always comes to my mind, right? It will shift, sudden it jumps backward too. So again, microphone's doing weird stuff. Different ways that societies adjust. So yeah, Michael.
And that was a good point about Ramadan. So they don't have a leap year, and that's why it changes all the
right.
time?
Right, yeah. So the question was, in the Islamic calendar, there's no leap year, there's no adjustment. It's just purely off the lunar cycle. And therefore, keeps shifting through the year on that time. So, yeah.
Can they actually predict when it's going to be looking at it? Or,
oh, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah.
They can predict it?
Solar calendar.
Because the students never know. They're all like, do you have class tomorrow? Maybe. You have to look at the moon. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, are they tricking me or what?
On the wondrous internet, there are calendars all mapped out and when the months will fall. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So for most of the world now, for better or worse, we fall under the Western calendar. Mostly the connection of technology has really done this to us. So I want to talk a little bit about the current Western calendar. I mean, can you just grab another microphone for me? I'll just hold it. It's fine. I don't know why this one.
It's super annoying. So, okay. The thing that's crazy to me, right, the calendar that started us off in the West, and by West I mean mostly like Europe, right, into the Americas, is the Julian calendar from 45 BC. It's called the Julian calendar because Julius Caesar was the emperor under which it was put in place, and they actually had a leap year. So imagine, like today, with computers, it seems like, okay, I can figure out the rotation of the planets. There was astronomers and scientists mapping out our time around the world, or around the sun, and the days, and figuring out how to have leap year in there by hand in their head. It's sort of just like mind-boggling to me how they would do that and the precision that they did it. But they had, much like us today, right, a four-year cycle, 3 years, 365 days, and then once a year they would throw in another day at 366 days, and the average year would be 365.25 days, 365 and a quarter. That was their year. So it seems good, right? These guys got it all figured out. But here's the issue, right? Is that it's not 365, it's actually 365.242. So the year is actually less than 365.25. So every year under the Julian calendar, we lost 11 minutes and 14 seconds. It was off, which probably for most people at that time, not a big deal. They kept living their lives. But over 1,000 years, you would lose 7 days. And then by 1500, they started to notice some weird stuff. That all of a sudden, the days that used to be in the summer aren't really in the summer anymore. The days that were in the spring are not in the spring, and that there's a shift going on. And especially at that time, a little, you know, cultural history, there was a lot of fear of celebrating Easter at the wrong time. Wanted to make sure they knew when Easter was in the Christian calendar, in the Christian nations. So that was part of the thing that drove this. So we ended up having Pope Gregory. The Pope at the time said, hey, we can't keep doing this. Let's figure out how to make this work. So put together a committee, of course, as anyone would. You have a committee. We follow that today. In 1578, chaired by the mathematician Christopher Clavius to try to figure this thing out, right? And they had to solve two big problems. So number one problem they had to solve is that they had to get the calendar right. They had to catch it up. So in the year 1582, October 5th through October 14th was wiped away. It vanished. So they went from October 4th, and the next day was October 15th, gone. So it's nice. It's not nice if you're paying rent. So all of a sudden your rent is due. You just lost 2 weeks, and now you got to pay rent again, right? Which, that's a joke, because I don't think there were probably many renters. But not everyone followed this, right? Britain didn't catch up on this till 1752, and Russia did not accept it till 1918 in the Russian Revolution, right? So again, that means, just think about like the people who are historians going back through documents and finding a date. You had to think about, what calendar were they using? Oh, this happened on October 6th. Is that really October 6th? Or is that an October 6th that got wiped away on other calendars, and try to align that? Some things that may matter, some things that doesn't matter, right? So that's problem number one. Catch up the calendar, fix it. Those days were gone. Problem number two is, we got to not let this happen again. We got to fix this calendar. And so this is what they decided to do. We've got to figure out how to get 365 days, 0.2422 days, to be workable when you can't slow down the Earth. Like, we can't slow down the Earth to be even 365 days. It's going. It's going to keep going, right? So this is what they came up with. All we can do is add days and take away days to keep adjusting our calendar, right? It'd be, well, you know what? I'll let that metaphor go. So this is the rule. These are the rules that we still use today, and it still works. That every year that's divisible by 100, we don't have a leap year. So in 1900, no leap year. 2100, no leap year. But if the year is divisible by 400, we keep the leap year. So in the year 2000, we actually had a leap year. And that's enough, adding and taking away days, that it starts to even out our calendar. Now, the problem is,
Those numbers that we saw with the days and the year, they're never going to align. They're never going to be perfect with each other, right? So this is a problem that you don't ever really fix. But we're on a pretty good trajectory. But in about 2,800 years, we're going to have a problem again. We're going to have to fix it, right? By the year 4909, we're going to be off by one day. And we're going to have to figure out something to do, either add in an extra leap day. So maybe that year we're going to have two, or maybe we'll work on it over that time, if we haven't destroyed ourselves through climate change and nuclear weapons by 4909. Maybe it's not going to matter, right? But it's sort of amazing that by just adjusting leap years and leap days, we've got to this point where we're good until 4909, which kind of blows me away, right? So happy February 29th today, brought to you by Roman scholars and some Gregorian monks that did math to figure out how these calendars work. It's sort of amazing. But to get back to the calendars, right? Calendars are not things that exist in nature. Calendars are a tool that we use to understand the world around us. And there's decisions in that. Every society has had to make different kinds of decisions to understand how the calendar works. We have to figure out the math of it, but also it's a tool we use between each other. So if I say, hey, let's meet on July 4th and have a party, we know actually when July 4th falls, and there's this consistent coordination between our actions. That's the thing that a calendar really is. It's a kind of human coordination tool so that we can work together and be effective. So if I say, your job starts on March 1st, we all know what day March 1st actually is. So let's shift gears a second and think about our brains, right? And so this is where it gets a little weirder, shifting from calendars to brains. But the thing with our brains, right, is that they are not actually interacting with the world. Our brains are only interacting with the inputs that come into it. So our senses, the things we hear, things we see, how we understand the world. So our brain is constantly constructing and building the world around us. This will get to calendars in a second. We are really good at seeing patterns. We are super good at seeing patterns in the world. And the psychologists tell us one of the arguments for that is that we do not get punished for missing a pattern. No, that's the opposite of that. We do not get punished for seeing a pattern that doesn't exist, but we could get punished for seeing patterns that aren't there, that are there, but we miss them. So for instance, you're walking across the plains of Africa, which is where humans lived most of their lives. And in terms of like the history of life, we just left Africa yesterday. Like we have hardly been gone. So in evolutionary terms, our mind is still made for those savannas of Africa, okay? And you see a movement in the grass, and maybe it's a tiger. Maybe I recognize, oh, that could be a tiger. And I run like hell and I live. Maybe it's not a tiger, but I live either way. Our ancestors who were like, that's probably not a tiger. They missed the pattern. They're gone. Their genes are out of the system because they just became lunch, right? So again, we are programmed to see patterns, and we benefit from patterns, even if those patterns aren't necessarily there. And of course, right, what are some of the most major patterns that we ever see? The days, cycle of the moon, our times, the seasons, the time around the sun. Those are patterns that you can't miss, and patterns that have deep, deep meanings to the different civilizations over the history of time. And just to emphasize some of this, right, why do we see shapes in the clouds? There's nothing there. But again, seeing patterns. Why do we see the picture of Jesus in toast, right? Because we want to see patterns. We want to see things are there. Bigfoot, that's a pattern waiting. That's a non-pattern, actually. It's a story waiting for evidence to be surprised. So why do we see ghosts? Why do we see images around us? Again, we want to see those patterns. So it's better to see a pattern that's not there than to miss a pattern that is. This is an AI thing. I just asked it to give me pictures of Bigfoot in toast. No, actually, that might have been Jesus in toast, and that's what AI gave. So it's kind of super, a little frightening. Yeah. Connected with that is our brains are also built to live with other people. There's a famous quote, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who it's from, but it goes something like this. If you drop a human into the woods naked, you've now fed the top predator of that ecosystem. If you drop 100 humans into that woods, you've now introduced the most powerful predator that our planet has seen, right? Because alone, we can't do very much, but together we build societies, we build homes, we colonize, we take over, right? That's what people do. So, and how do we do that? We do that by being social, by connecting with each other. Other species don't do this. you know, sharks are just as happy to eat their offspring as they are to help them out. Not us, right? Like, we would die for other people, people that we consider part of our group. And so that's the power that we have. And how does that work? It's because we are built to cooperate. We're built to connect to each other. Our brains are built for culture. We're not built for any specific culture. Any culture you get dropped into as a baby, that culture takes over your mind. It gets imprinted on your mind. So we're wide open, but we're good and ready for culture to come along. So in psychology, this is called extended cognition, the ability for us to not have to think of things over and over again. Some of the tools of extended cognition: language, writing, symbols that we use. So if Jason King has a brilliant thought and he emails it to me, now I don't have to have that thought. I can take that thought from him and use that thought, right? Extended cognition. If a month ago I had a brilliant thought and I write it down, I'm now giving myself my own thoughts because I don't have to rethink them again, right? Extended cognition. You get that thing. And guess what a calendar is? A calendar is a tool for extended cognition. It's a tool that we're handed to understand time, to see how the world works, to make plans, to work together, to connect to each other. We want to feel like the world has order and that we can make sense of that order naturally. But this is a great quote from Galileo. Galileo wanted a grand book written in mathematical language with the symbols symbols of triangles, circles, and other geometrical figures fitting together. He saw this perfect universe. And of course, at that time, in Christian thought, ordered by God, that God had made this perfectly ordered universe. But unfortunately, it's a lot messier than that, right? And calendars are a great way to see that this is a mess. We have to impose that order on the world around us, and the calendar is a way that we impose order to make sense of it, and it's part of our culture. It's imprinted into our brains. But it also means, again, patterns that are not there. This is a list of people that predicted the end of the world. And trust me, this is a fraction of the list. There are literally hundreds of people, well-known people, who have said, the world is about to end, watch out, okay? And somehow we're still rocking and rolling, we're still here. So again, a pattern that doesn't exist, fear that comes along with the calendar. Every time we hit an even number, so at 2000, end of the world, 1000, end of the world. 1000 was a big end of the world time, really thought the world was ending. Didn't happen. So probably in 2100, end of the world is coming. Everyone that sees like different patterns in each year, you think that something significant is happening. But the thing with the calendar, never fall for the, can you believe it's 2020 or 2040? It's all made up. Like, the calendar is just made up. We've made these numbers. So don't think that like the sun's going to explode on some specific date because of the numbers in the calendar. We've made that stuff up. So just to bring it all together, We build meaning in what we see, right? The calendar is a way that we make meaning in the world. And the days and the months and the years, they feel like this normal thing. Like, it must be natural that the calendar is a reflection of nature. And it really isn't. It's part of our information system. It's part of extended cognition. It puts us in a place in history to know a year you were born and what that means. That's a real thing. It still is real. It still is a year. Still is history happening, but helps us understand that time. And then, again, the relationship between the moment and the past. How do we get to now? Where are we going in the future? The calendar helps us understand how that time is divided out. So with that, I will take questions. Just say happy Leap Day. Again, brought to you by Roman scholars and medieval monks. So thank you. Questions? Yeah. I told you, Nernius, one question at a time, please. King, what you got? I know you have more to add.
I was thinking of kind of how individual moments got codified. Like, for example, train tables were really when, because before that, in the 19th century, every town kind of had their own clock. So it would be 6 o'clock in one spot, and it would be 6:15, just 10 minutes away. Right. And they kind of developed that with trains. But
and why because of trains?
Because trains, you had to have if you got on the train at this time, you had to get up at this time, and people wanted to know, like, when to pick you up.
Right. And that things like trains don't run into other trains. Right. So, like, until we could move faster than a train, like, it didn't matter because you couldn't move fast enough where a time zone was a thing, really. But trains were the thing that made us have to do that. So, exactly. Just like leap seconds mostly didn't matter up until we had precision clocks enough where we started to notice that, oh, the length of the day isn't actually exactly 24 hours. Now we understand that. So, yeah. Good. Other questions?
So I have a question related to global education. So for us, it's the year 2024. How about in other cultures? I know we all use that to keep it the same, but in many other cultures, it's actually quite a different year, right? You know anything about that?
I don't know as much, maybe. I mean, I know that that's true. I don't know the numbers, and I know especially, I think the Chinese calendar, right, is much higher, but yeah. Anyone know the year? Is there anyone in here? Is Ethiopian?
Yeah, I know in Thailand it was some like the year 7, way 000. Way different. Yeah, it was like the year 7,000 or something like that. Do you know what's the Arabic year? Do you know what year it is? If you don't go by like when Jesus his death is what we go by, right? That's like the first year. How about with Muslim canon? Anybody? Nobody knows that one. How about on your native country? What year is it? Same. No idea.
Well, and I think in some places now, you know, the Western calendar has become so dominant that it's not even shared as much. Like people could look it up, but people don't often know it off the top of their head. Yeah.
If I'm correct, Ethiopia, it's like 2016. So the world could still end at that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Could happen. Yeah. Cool. All right. Any other questions?
Somewhere around.
Yeah, we're going to
It's in Arabic, 1445
Hijri, yeah.
1445 is the year in Arabic. So that's like Muhammad when he was born, or is it related to Muhammad's life? Mm-hmm. Yes. A-H.
So that's why A-H.
What's Hijri?
Put on the spot.
No. Troy, do you have a favorite time zone?
Well, I mean, Central, of course.
Good answer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can wrap it up there if there's no other questions. So, yeah, we're good. Do you have one? Josh, could you just, I know everyone's like ready to go. Can you talk a little bit about how historians deal with some of the differences in those? Have you had to deal with that?
Sure, a little. I mean, most of my work is centered on the 20th century when a lot of this has been sort of updated and things like that. But, you know, I wrote a dissertation last year as it relates to World War I. And so that very much, that idea of the process of needing to have structure was very much in the minds of individuals at that time. But in the idea of needing to be sure that you are accounting for specific dates or specific times, it means you're going to have to take multiple sources into consideration then in order to be able to properly assess when something was occurring. Because especially in something like, let's say, for example, military history, and if we're giving an example of, let's say, you know, the U.S. in the 18th or the 19th century, of if, let's say, you're reading one source and, you know, the guy says, well, we attacked at 2:00 in the afternoon. Did you? And you look at maybe another source that says, well, maybe it was in the early afternoon. Okay, well, when? And so you have to be able to then get a sense of multiple sources to be able to make that assessment. So it just sort of means you have to be able to take multiple sources into consideration. Now, there's others who do other work directly as it would relate to some of that a bit more fully. And so they as well are going to have More language skill, of course, certainly to be able to take some of those other sources into consideration. But again, it's that access to sources that really then is going to matter a great deal. And it also means you can't necessarily take certain things that exist in a source as direct face value because it can absolutely be corrected by other sources that would be around something.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. I love it. Commercial for all of you who want to be history majors. So
it's okay. Awesome.
That's good.
Any other questions?
We can wrap it up. Okay.
All right. Thank you all.
Appreciate
it. Thank you, Dr. Swanson. Thank you.